The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. This broadcast is going live on December 15, 7:03 here in Saskatoon. I don't know what time you'll be listening or watching that, and I know there's so many of you connected live with us, but may God bless you. We are on our 15th week of this journey of exploring trying to understand who Jesus is and live the life of Jesus. 15th week. And by the way, this is our last week of this year. We'll have a break, a Christmas break, then a New Year's break. I'm taking a few days off, so I'll not be around to make those lives. But in January, we'll be back by God's grace. And our goal is to finish the Gospel of Luke. And then I have plans to do the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Revelation. What, Pastor? Yes, Revelation, in my humble opinion, is a gospel that tells the story of Jesus now as God, and is so beautiful as we understand through that lens. Well, as you may know, this community, the community of the Rescue Worker, is a community of Jesus apprentices, and we have a motto, and the motto of our community of Jesus apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. God has declared to us how He wants to be loved. Loved with all we have and loved with all we are. And that love should be an expression to other people as well. That is God's way. Because when we love God, we should love other people. Our neighbor. They came from God. They are children of God. It's like you cannot say that you love me, hate my kids, right? That doesn't make any sense. So Jesus is saying, just let's be here based on love. Love God and love our neighbor and love ourselves. On this week, the 15th week, we have our memory verse. And the memory verse is from the story that we studied yesterday, Luke 7:13. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Jesus was moved by compassion. His action to heal, or better saying, to resurrect that boy came out of his compassion. Not necessarily came out of faith of someone, but from the compassion of God. And that was so beautiful and powerful. Because this week we are studying somehow how the Sermon of the Plain that has its heart in Luke 6:36, right? Be compassionate because God is compassionate. Takes form, walks and among us, how this compassion becomes real. And that's somehow we're studying here. And we need to keep that in mind to understand the verses for today. And somehow this compassion must be a transformative compassion. So you are transformed according to the image and likeness of God. And for that, we need to be connect with God all the time, every single day. Our goal is not necessarily to become like Jesus. Our goal is to walk with God, and God will transform us like Jesus. And when I behave and I realize I'm not behaving like Jesus. I'm not having the feelings that Jesus had. I'm not having the thoughts that Jesus had. I need now to surrender. Surrender to God, then love God more and ask Him to give His love to us so we can be like Jesus. So it's a transformative. So we need to be connected with God all the time, having a fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that the promise of Hebrews 4:16 that says that God is a loving God is open and willing to have a relationship with us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Let's come to God and experience His mercy and grace. You see, mercy and grace, love, those are the words, those are the guides of God's kingdom, our relationship with God, and supposed to be our relationship with one another. Love, grace, mercy. That is the nature of God's kingdom. Well, I want to give you a minute for you to connect with God, to position yourself, to ask for this grace and mercy for you, and ask that God will help you to love and have grace and mercy towards others. And we'll need to this love today to understand the passage today, the compassion today, the element of compassion today. So, take this time, this 1 minute, to position yourself before God, to ask His presence, His guidance, as we study the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings and for this opportunity for us to get together here now to be in your presence, to have fellowship as a community, and to study your word, to study Jesus Christ. But we want more than information. We pray for transformation, Lord. Help us, Lord. Open our eyes to see what you'll be saying to us today. Forgive our sins. And be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are on chapter 7. Somehow in chapter 7, we are seeing the great themes of the Sermon of the Plain becoming real. How compassion becomes real and is demonstrated, is displayed. How can we live that compassion? And it is interesting that the first time compassion, mercy, and that love for the enemy appears is with a Roman officer towards the Jewish people, towards a slave. Then we saw yesterday how the mercy of God manifests itself in Jesus Christ as He resurrected the only son of a widow. And now we'll see a question about, is that the true kingdom? Is that the real kingdom of God, this compassionate kingdom, this loving kingdom? Is that the one? Is that real? What's going on? Because maybe for you, like I have been sharing, talk with some people, this kingdom, this image, these expectations of God, they are not aligned with the reality or even our own expectations. Oh, I thought would be different. So let's turn here and try to understand. And understand the message and how this narrative or this account plays along with the narrative that we are studying. Sometimes we just do studies that we take a few Bible verses or a story, sometimes out of its context or from its big picture, and we miss the main points. So I love what we are doing here on this community, where we are going verse by verse and studying, because we are keeping or trying to keep the big story, the narrative, and trying to understand what is happening through this narrative. So comes verse 18. So you can grab your Bible and Luke chapter 7, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So let's stop here. Luke, he didn't did a proper, let's say, transition like he was used to, right? It is suddenly he brings a subject without a transition. Maybe if he was taking a writing class, he would say, hey, you need to have some information prior to that, right? After that, right? Or something. But John, Luke just presents the information. And he brings John back to the picture. If you remember, John was a great person in the account of Jesus. Somehow he was even the main person on chapter 1. The first story to be told with Zechariah, Elizabeth, the birth of John. Then on chapter 3 we see the ministry of John. And such a great emphasis. And John had such a great and powerful message. And this message of John, and I'm turning to chapter 3 here, right? People were so moved by the power and the ministry of John, calling people to repent, point out the sins of people and say, we need to repent because the kingdom is near. A message of repentance. And people even question, are you John, the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Remember, Christ is not a last name of Jesus. Christ is a title. This title is the Greek version of the word Messiah, the anointed one. So John the Baptist is in the desert, in the wilderness, preaching with power. People were coming. He has many disciples. So people ask, are you the Messiah? So verse 15, so John 3:15, everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their question by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be slave or untie the straps of his sandal. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. He'll be guided by the Holy Spirit completely. So he'll be greater than I am. He have the Holy Spirit. And pay attention, verse 17. He's ready to separate the cleaf, the chaff from the wheat, from the winnowing fork, then who will clean up the thresh area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. the vision and the understanding of John about the mission and ministry of Jesus was that he would be anointed by Holy Spirit with mighty power. He would be much greater than John, and he would bring what? The judgment of God. Where John got this idea of judgment being part of Jesus' ministry? Well, from the prophecies of the Hebrew Bible. And for instance, let's turn to one major prophecy that we have talked about it, and I was eager to share with you today, Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And why is this verse is so important? Because this verse, according to Jesus, along with chapter 58 of Isaiah, are the heart of his ministry. Is the itinerary of Jesus' ministry. In Luke 4, verse 18 and 19, Jesus took some words from Isaiah 61 to say who he was and what kind of ministry was expected of him. So I read Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, and to proclaim that captives will be released, and prisoners will be freed. And then verse 2, He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord has come. The Jubilee. So you can see and remember the words of Jesus in the synagogue and in other moments. That is my mission. But it's interesting that verse 2 doesn't stop there. We didn't finish the text. It is interesting, and I had point out to you, and maybe you don't remember because it has been some months ago, when Jesus presents his mission in the synagogue, he takes portions, but not the full scope or the full Bible verse. So it is important to pay attention what he chose, but it's important to pay attention what he left out of his message. And here, the continuation, verse 2. The second part. So, and with it, the day of God's anger against the enemies. So, in the messianic prophecies, we see this proclamation of the good news, the release of the poor, the justice come, but we see what? The image of judgment. And somehow, as John was preaching about the Messiah, he preached what he knew about, yes, is the good news, but has the judgment. He finally will bring the judgment, the fire, the anger of God, the wrath of God. So John and his disciples are expecting that. And where's John right now? Well, John, since we saw him last time, probably has been 6 months in the biblical account. From the time that John went to prison, that is how we finish. Luke finishes the story on the account of John. He goes to prison. So he's in prison probably for 6 months. Let's bring my map here. So Jesus is in Capernaum here. On Galilee, on the top. John probably is in a prison here in Macarius, beside the Dead Sea, on the Jordan side today, the country of Jordan. So we are talking about close to 120 kilometers of distance. So if the disciples of John had to come from Galilee to bring the news, they walk at least three days. And they come to John, and the disciples told John about everything Jesus was doing. And I do believe that they're not just telling the accounts of Jesus, oh, Jesus said that, Jesus did that. But I do believe that they are telling their interpretation of the ministry to John. Hey, Jesus is doing that, but was not he supposed to bring judgment? Was not he supposed to point out the sins of people and clean? Was not he supposed to bring the kingdom of God? Where is that, John? Because if Jesus was doing what he was supposed to do, he probably would be here with you, John, in prison as well. And why he's not here in prison? And why you are in prison? Why is Jesus not moving or doing something to take you out of prison, John? So the report is not just what Jesus is saying. He's saying where it is that idea, that real kingdom of God with justice, judgment, and power. Where is that? We see something, Jesus like hang out with those that are considered unclean, Jesus helping Gentiles, healing the slaves of Roman officers. He was supposed to bring justice, to point out the sins of Rome, not to make friends or heal them. Where is that? So John called for two of his disciples. He chose two. And verse 19. And he sent them to the Lord to ask him, are you the Messiah we have been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? There's many things happening with John. He's in prison for 6 months already. He has some company. His disciples come and are able to visit with him. But his question the silence that he's living, being there and not being rescued. He's questioning his mission and even the kind of messiahship he had in mind. And I think the question that he's asking here is, what kind of messiah are you? Are you the one that we are supposed to expect? And it is very interesting because this phrase, the expectation, comes even from Genesis 49, where from the scepter of Judah, we are supposed to expect a ruler. And that expectation of judgment and power, are you the one? So John has many questions. And my dear friend, it is okay to have questions. On our relationship with God, God is okay to have questions. The book of Psalms is a book of questions. Why God? Where are you? Look, Psalm 13. On this process of asking questions, we'll be healed, will be transformed through those concerns and why we can find the true nature of who God is. But what we see here, it's a clear dissonance, or we see a discrepancy between the expectation of the Messiah and what kind of kingdom and message and the reality. And verse 20, John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we have been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? Wow. Pay attention to what Jesus said. At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illness, and evil spirits, and restore sight to many who were blind. Jesus didn't answer them, but he showed them. He showed what? He showed them mercy. He showed them the kingdom of God. He gave them the glimpse of the kingdom. Then he told John the disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. I don't know what you see here, but what I see is Jesus telling the same words that he told over and over that we can find in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus is saying, yes, I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit and the message of this kingdom is a message of love and a message of mercy. Mercy for those that are crying, for those that are blind, that those are don't feel loved. This kingdom is a kingdom of love, of mercy. That is the message and the heart of God's kingdom and God's ministry. It is not about that moment of anger and judgment, but it's about the love. You see, the eternal kingdom of God is based on love, compassion, and grace. What can you do to deserve the eternal life? Nothing. It's only by grace of God. God gives to you the same way he gave to Adam and Eve what they have done to deserve to be created according to God's image, to be rulers of this earth, to have food and provision, to be invited to rest on the Sabbath day, what they have done to deserve having a marriage, a family, nothing. Everything comes out of God's grace, and God's grace will manifest himself again on the eternal life. That is the kingdom. That's the heart of the kingdom of God, grace and mercy. But yes, there we are, moment of judgment. You see, we usually refer to hell, the hell. Hell is not a place, hell is an event. An event that has time to start and time to finish. Revelation 20. What is eternal is the love and mercy. However, people sometimes, they want to make their message the message of hell, of judgment. They want to make an event their eternal message. But the eternal message is love and mercy. That was not aligned with John's expectation and the people's expectation. And maybe that is not aligned with our idea of God. Because most of our idea and relationship of God is more related to our ideas of deities and the pagan concept of God. A God that does not have affections for the people. A God that is just doing business with people. A God that is punishing people when they are the gods or the deities are unhappy with the people. The pagan had, oh, I need to please and appease the deities. And somehow, many of us, we have this idea of God coming from paganism, but not from the God of the Bible. But the people, oh, but the God of the Hebrew Bible, my friend, who sees Jesus, sees God. If you're not happy with the picture that Jesus is describing of who God is, I'm sorry, my friend. That is the reality. That is the merciful and loving God. And I can tell you, according to Paul, the Hebrew God that is one and the same, the problem we read things out of context, we don't understand the situations, we don't apply, and then we see this dichotomy, right? Being the God of the Hebrew Bible is a God of anger, and the God of the New Testament is the God of love. My friend, there's no difference. There's context that we need to understand. But Paul, he declares the other way around, that the God of the Old Testament of the Hebrew Bible is the God of love, and the God of the New Testament is the God of justice. And why he says that? Because he refers that the God of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, he provide a way out for the people. He provide a lamb for them not to die because of their sins. However, the gospel of the New Testament did not provide a way out for Jesus. Jesus had to pay the price of sin. The God of justice is in the cross. You see, there's no such dichotomy, but if we had, the God of the Old Testament is a loving God, and the God of the New Testament is the God of justice. But the justice and love, they kissed each other at the cross. But people are not happy with this loving, merciful, inclusive kingdom of God. They want the wrath of God. They want to see people burning. They want to see hate. The gospel of hate leads people to hell. Their center is the destruction. But Jesus is presenting a different kind of kingdom. And when Jesus quoted Isaiah 61, he left out the part of the wrath, because the wrath is not a continual manifestation of God's love. It's an act of love, but it's not an ongoing aspect of God's kingdom. It's a moment. So Jesus, let's leave that moment for the moment. What rules our kingdom, the kingdom of God, what rules my ministry, who I am, it's a merciful kingdom where mercy will be expressed. Where the kingdom is not present, the kingdom will be manifested, this kingdom of grace and mercy. And pay attention how Jesus finishes this segment, and here I'm finishing. Verse 23, and then he added, God blesses. Comes to the beatitude. God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. God blesses those that do not fall away because of the mercy that I show, the grace that I show. Simon, when he was carrying Jesus in the temple, he said that many would fall because of him. Because people would not comprehend the love and the mercy of God. People would not embrace this love and mercy. And they would not understand. They want the wrath. They want the justice. A new family moved to town. They came to visit my congregation, trying to find a home base, a church base for their family. And after the sermon, they approach me and they ask, are there other congregations in town? I say, yes. Why? Well, I'm looking forward to a congregation where we hear more about the justice of God. Your message is more about grace and love, inclusive forgiveness. I want the true gospel, the gospel of justice. I'm not coming back. And I bless them, say, may God help you to find the place where you feel comfortable, and may God help you to find God. And Jesus is saying here, bless those who do not fall away because of the mercy that they show. But it's interesting how people, they wanted the justice, the hell, the burning. We'll have some of that. Not the way people think, but that will be an event, a moment. The ruling, the mold, the operating model of the kingdom is love. And Jesus is telling them, go back. That is the kingdom. That is the way of the kingdom. A kingdom that anticipates the fulfillment of the kingdom. The kingdom that restores what was lost from the Eden. A kingdom, an eternal kingdom of love and mercy. So I want to finish here asking, what's your idea about God? What's your idea about Jesus? What's your idea about the kingdom? If up to this point is not clear to you what Luke's trying to convey here, please pay attention. The kingdom of God is a merciful and loving kingdom. The kingdom of God is a kingdom for all, where everyone is welcome, where there's a place on the table for everyone. In the kingdom of God, love, mercy reigns. No matter what people believe or behave, they are welcome. They are loved. Where we love so much that we will not judge people, that is the kingdom of love. You may say, I don't like that kingdom. I pray that God will help you to come close to Him and understand the nature of His kingdom. Because the nature of this kingdom, of His God's kingdom, reflects the nature of God. God is love, and He acts out of His love. And His love is for all Gentiles, Roman officers, the compassion of God. And God expects us to have the same compassion. That for me is so powerful. But at the same time, so sad, because we have been listening to different gospels today. Different ideas. But I pray that somehow the true gospel will be restored. The gospel of the kingdom of love. Not the gospel of the wrath, the anger of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings for this study that take us to contemplate who you are, the nature of the kingdom. Forgive our sins, Lord. And help us to have a proper understanding about you, your kingdom, and a proper understanding of our mission here on earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to the questions for reflection. Here they are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you abundantly. May you experience the mercy and grace of God. And may you be a conduit, a channel of this mercy and grace to other people. Let's live, experience the kingdom of God, a kingdom of love and mercy. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.